What can cleanse my guilt and pride? Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
What can quench my thirsting soul? Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. Trust in you.
Greetings and many blessings to you, saints. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for making this possible, and we ask, Lord, that you give us discernment and understanding of the days to come, that we be prepared and that we be able to cooperate with you in the process, that we have no fear, for you are our sovereign God. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with the beast's great deception number 8. And we're going to start out with the revelation given to Dana Coverstone on March the 10th and 18th in 2023. And he called it worse than you thought it would be. It's true. They think it's going to be very rosy, and it's not. I had this dream 3 or 4 days in a row, and it was the same dream over and over and over, up until the news guy, who was Jesus, shows up. We know he's going to show up too, don't we? The repetition of the dream reminds me of Joseph's interpretation that a dream will surely come to pass when it's repeated like that. And so he goes on to say the dream starts off with a time frame going back a decade because things were safer and my children were 10 years younger at that time. The dream began with me loading an 80s style station wagon with lawn chairs, blankets, large coolers. The station wagon indicated to me a time of good work ethics and a family focus. My kids were younger, like the ages of between 10 to 15, and they were excited about going to a very large fireworks display close to the town that we lived in. I didn't recognize exactly where I was, it was in the early evening and traffic was very heavy. I saw SUVs and trucks loaded down with outdoor items as we got closer to the fireworks location. There were signs pointing to parking and other carnival-like activities and rides and lots of music. Parking for the carnival was over this extremely large field, like 3 to 4 football fields. And the fireworks area was set up near an area that had been barricaded. People were walking around, blankets on the ground, getting ready for the fireworks display. The place was packed with cars and hundreds of people. It seemed like every child there had sparklers and the teens were lighting up bottle rockets and firecrackers with adult supervision, which made me think of the 80s when things were a little bit different. Yep. There was a bluff area that overlooked the flat ground and we decided to pull the car up there and park. So we got the blankets, lawn chairs, and food out. This bluff that we were on was an overlook area, meaning not just for a better view, but an access for a safer way to get out of there. So we already had a premonition that they might have to get out of there, right? Yeah. We began to talk about the fireworks that were about to be displayed, and then there was this announcement over some loudspeakers that they would start in 15 minutes. patriotic music began to play, but I didn't get the feeling that it was actually like a 4th of July or a flag day. It may have been in the dream, but I'm just telling you I didn't get that feeling. I get the feeling. The patriotic spirit is very prevalent right now. The Alliance of Nations are planning a celebration of their victories over the deep state. But we have been told by the Lord for some time that he is going to use the deep state Babylon to judge the apostate people of God and Americans, even though this will also be worldwide. I don't necessarily think it was a July 4th event. It could have been, but I believe it was indicative of big events that draw people's attention to the country itself. And the patriotic music meant that something's going to happen with the country. As we will see, it was a country-wide attack. Or country is very polarized, more so every moment. And many are angry about the destruction that the left is bringing to the country and are about to celebrate a victory over them. Yeah. It's close, he said. I did not get a sense that this was a terrorist event. I'm not saying it's a natural thing either. No one knew what was going on. No one knew where it came from or who was behind it. Well, let me say it's not a terrorist event because it is an internal civil war that we've been going through. And, of course, there's been help from the outside, like the Chinese communists. And the difference being that now the left is killing civilians instead of military. That's a pretty vicious act and always has been looked down on when they purposely target civilians. So he went on to say, when the patriotic music began to play, the crowd began moving, laughing, and getting ready for the fireworks. The entire field below us was filled with people. It appeared to be literally thousands of people excited to see the show, and after a bit, the announcer asked everyone to stand for the national anthem. Well, he said, I noticed that when the guy called for the national anthem, everybody began talking and everybody got up. Well, so I believe that this kind of shows us that this crowd is a conservative crowd of people. You know, the leftists don't do things like that anymore. So I think this indicates we're going to see a whole lot of things happen as far as how people feel about the country. And most people today will agree with me that it's gone downhill in a way that people look at the country and its leadership differently. Yes. When it stopped, I got very quiet, and the people sat down on the ground. My family all did as well. The first shots of the fireworks rose straight into the air and seemed to go up forever. But there was no noise or lights, no explosions. It was literally 2 minutes of silence with everybody looking up until there was this horrific noise like a bomb going off. Everybody was looking up. We were all distracted before we realized what had happened. And it wasn't fireworks going off, but something a whole lot worse. And once again, I'm not saying war or missiles because I saw no military equipment at all in this dream. So it could be symbolical of a lot of things. Okay. My family and I jumped, being startled, and everybody else jumped too. It was just so loud and so sudden. There were huge flashes of light like hundreds of flares had suddenly been uncapped. There was debris raining down on people and hot bits of fire, sticks, and paper. Bigger than expected chunks of wood and pieces of brick were hitting people. They were screaming and running down there on the field. People didn't recognize what had happened because we were all looking up, waiting for the fireworks. We were distracted, waiting for what was going to happen, or what everybody thought was going to happen. There's more and more, let me say, that there's more and more, celebratory words going forth that they have conquered the deep state. And my thinking is, not so fast. We still got dreams and visions that God has shown us are going to happen. And so I think that's what's going on here, is the plan for the celebration over the deep state is being not realized. Instead, retaliation is being realized. He went on to say, we knew something was going to happen. We just did not know exactly what it was. But after those fireworks or whatever it was exploded, everybody knew and got really bad really quick. It got really bad really quick. Yeah. I do believe they have planned a response. They have them really cornered. The dollar is being destroyed, which is, of course, destroying the deep state's income. A lot of people don't know that. They're worried about the dollar being destroyed, but it actually has to happen in order to bring in the new dollars that are backed by gold and silver. So a victory is being fought and won, but that doesn't mean the war is over, right? So the announcer came on and told people to remain calm as the problem would be remedied soon. He said in a very calm voice. Just then another blast of fireworks shot into the air. Amen. But they sounded more like F-16s taking off. So the symbolism there is now turning military, right? F-16s taking off could represent the military, left and right, by the way, getting involved, because our military is split. But he went on to say, they were really loud, and they had the same effect in the air after a few minutes of silence. Then they exploded like a bomb. A judgment on the military? Now people were running everywhere. Some had their clothing and hats on fire. People were yelling for their kids to come here. Hurry, come on, let's go. They were trying to get to their cars. Some of the cars were now burning, and people were running towards the bluff where my family was. When judgment comes, people seek for higher ground spiritually, you know. I told my kids to leave everything and get in the car as fast as they could. It's time to come out from among them, right? Well, it's past time to come out from among them. Now God's got to do something. Well, this is when it got harrowing, because there was still debris falling and burning things and people screaming and running for their lives. More and more of the cars in the field were burning now, and people were frantic for safety. We didn't notice until we had to get to safety, so this thing happened out of nowhere. It was dangerous, and everybody knew something bad had just happened. Obviously, something had gone wrong, but it was obviously planned because it was happening everywhere. So this symbolism was something of a much larger scale, right? There were people surrounding my car and beating on the windows. Suddenly people want to get into the ark, but a little late, right? So this car was a station wagon, which I've never owned in real life. My father owned many of them. Well, I could be representing the father who owns our vehicle through the purchase of Jesus' blood, talking about this vehicle we walk around in, right? The entire inside of that car was so small, nobody else would fit. So I just hit the gas because the crowd was dangerous. They had this crazy looks in their eyes and were pulling at the door handles. Well, like they were outside of the ark trying to get in? Probably. The doors were locked, and my kids were holding each other, and we were just trying to get out of there. My wife and my kids were terrified, so I maneuvered the car down the bluff and got back onto the road. The crowd was dangerous. They were trying to get away at all costs because their cars were on fire. Yeah, it's not water this time. It's fire, right? It's trouble, trouble. At that moment, my family and their safety became the most important thing to me. This might indicate that we're going to need to be careful about being in large groups or around a lot of people. I don't think so. I think that this is really talking about it's a symbol in a smaller area of a much larger thing happening, not necessarily in large groups, but a celebration around the country of this victory that they expect they have won. Okay. That's when we realized that this was not just a fireworks event. There were houses burning, cars along the road that had been abandoned. The sky was alive with fire and darkness, and I'm not talking about lightning either. It seemed like there was fire burning in several places in the air. There were cars underneath overpasses that were kind of waiting it out. Well, overpasses could be a play on the word Passover, waiting it out, right? That's what the Jews were doing. They were celebrating the Passover, waiting out this judgment. God's people will have a Passover during these judgments. There's absolutely no doubt about it. People were watching the skies in the cars, out of the cars, under the overpasses, leaning out and looking up to see what was going on. I was trying the radio, but there was only static. I stopped under the underpass and asked really quick if anybody knew what was going on, but nobody knew anything. Static on the radio could mean that there had been an EMP attack, possibly. We'll see about it. People were trying to make phone calls, but the calls weren't going through because of the overwhelming number of calls. We got back on the road, and I headed home as fast as I could. Now the roads were littered with trash, and cars were parked, and there were burning trees and overall chaos. I was made aware that this bigger event was more than just the local fireworks because it had impacted the whole country. Yep. Well, we've seen countrywide attacks from the deep state before, and they like that. They are, after all, trying to bring down the population. The sky seemed to be angry at America. There was fire and darkness, but no flashing in the sky. It was almost like the sky was reflecting the earth, and the fires were burning down here. People were hiding under those overpasses, wondering what else the sky might unleash. The cell phones weren't working. Busy signals were being heard. It was like a war zone, but without the military equipment involved. That's the best way I can describe it. We got back to the place where we lived and got in the house and locked the doors. Then we turned the TV on, and there were emergency tickers going across the bottom of the screen and local numbers to report damage. There was no mention of war missiles. I saw no military equipment either. There were reporters with sat phones, and they were running and frantically trying to talk to people. They were saying, here's what's going on here, and they were sharing information and talking quickly with other people in the newsroom. I also saw a whiteboard, and it had gibberish all over it. In other words, when they got a report, they'd write something down, and somebody else would come and scratch that out and write something else. They were trying to figure out what in the world had just happened. Nobody had any clue. They were red-eyed and frantic trying to figure out what had happened, just like most of the crowd. And there was no accurate reporting of this is what's happened, or we've been invaded, or there's a war, we've been bombed. There was fear and panic in a seeming blackout, and this event happened so fast and so unexpected that nobody had a clue of what was happening. Okay, well, I would suggest that this is probably an attack on more than one front in an attempt to salvage what was left of the deep state and bring down as many people as possible. Then I heard a cameraman say, we're going live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then sitting at the desk in the newsroom was the man I always see in the dreams. I knew him to be Jesus. He was wearing a modern dress shirt and looking at a clipboard. He looked directly into the camera and he began reporting. Well, let me say, Jesus is coming by spirit of the latter rain, as Hosea 6:1-3 says. He is coming in a body of reformers, hence the modern garb at the beginning of peace being taken from the earth. Jesus in the man-child will be the only one to speak the true good news. And you can't get that from the right or the left in these days, let me say. He will report the true news according to Revelation 6:1-4. Then I watched as the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures say in a thunderous voice, come. So I looked and saw a white horse, and its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out to overcome and to conquer. And when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And then another horse went forth. It was bright red, and its rider was granted permission to take away peace from the earth, and to make men slay one another. And he was given a great sword. So here you have the Lord coming to announce the true good news, the gospel. And this pandemonium has broken loose, the second seal. Well, Jesus said, we have gotten report after report of strange occurrences at outdoor activities, and 9/11 calls have been overwhelmed and have overwhelmed the entire nationwide system. Many of you are aware that chaotic events spread over the entire country have left fires and confusion on every front. Well, we have received dreams of people crying because the country had been burned. And that could also be spiritual, more than just physical burning, but that could be included. And they were saying that this didn't have to happen. Okay. And then he said, let me be very clear, it is worse than you thought it would be. So Jesus, the announcer, is saying this. It's worse than you thought it would be. You were warned and told that perilous times were coming, but this is worse than you thought it would be. Many have ignored the truth, and now it is worse than you thought it would be. So at this point, tears began to come down his face. He put his hands on his face and lowered his head down. Then he composed himself, looked at the camera again, and spoke further, but those tears continued. He said, "Don't leave your first love. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Stay repentant in the center of my will. Overcome. Walk through the open door. Stay disciplined. I will walk beside you during persecution and pain." And when he said that word pain, at that moment a tear streamed down his face and hit the desk, and it had this amplified effect. And he says, it reminded me of the tear in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, that fell after Christ died. When the tear hit the ground in this particular movie, that's when the earthquake happened that rent the veil in the temple. Okay. Jesus went on to say, many will say, that it's worse than they thought it would be. And they will be right. So remain hard braced and battle ready. I am coming, and my reward is with me, and I am with you always. Well, that terminology, my reward is with me. I'll just complete the text here from Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, which I believe is the Zion in our day, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. There it is. So he's coming to save Zion. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So I believe we're seeing in this revelation the recompense. So we see Jesus is coming in a modern body of people to save the bride and judge his enemies. Jesus went on to say, these are the hard facts in the news as I am reporting it to you in living color. I turned the TV off and looked at my kids, who now appeared to be their ages that they are today. So this is something appears to have been happening during these years all the way up until today. And the fact is, that's exactly what's been happening, is we've been under attack from these leftists, and all the way up until today, which is the worst, right? And the day he speaks of here is upon us, because they're at the age they are now. So, in the dream, they aged from 10 to 12 years. My kids' aging in the dream represents that the chaos has been ongoing under our noses. Yes, that's right. I also think that my kids being older at the end of the dream represents the absolute necessity for maturity in our wisdom, in our thinking, and in our steps that we take, because it's going to be hard to navigate these times if we're not mature in our faith, serving the Lord and hearing His word. True. We all joined in a circle and began to pray for boldness and strength when there was a knock at the door. Without fear, I opened the door, and there were several families who were crying and holding smaller kids, and they asked if they could please come in so we could explain to them and help them understand what was going on. So we invited them into our home, and when the door was shut and all that noise from the sirens and the chaos outside stopped, a little girl with one of the family said, "I feel better in here than I did out there." And then I woke up. The news anchor that I recognized as Jesus very calmly spoke to the viewing audience. In other words, people were going to need answers. Even the Christians need answers to the dilemma as well. I mean, the entire country's been hit with something. The news anchor, Jesus, says, "It's worse than you thought it would be," three times. Then he said, "You didn't listen to the concerns. You didn't listen to all the situations that were going on. Many of you are aware that you were born into perilous times. Many have ignored the truth, and now it's worse than you thought it would be." At that point, he begins to cry. Why? Because something's happened and people don't know what to do. They're scared. There were probably people who were dying, but I did not see dead bodies. Well, we've already shared that there are going to be many dead among the enemies of God's people. You remember what a Passover is, right? The Passover is when God's people are passed over by the death angel and he strikes the Egyptians, right? So it's the Red Sea time of their destruction going into the wilderness tribulation, because Revelation 6, 1 through 3 there represents the beginning of the tribulation. I did not see burning bodies. Many times, let me say, many times vehicles represent our mobile tabernacles or bodies. He saw vehicles burning and abandoned, which could represent death when your vehicle is abandoned, right? So, yes, things are always hidden in dreams for you to, you know, let the Lord show you, you know. Three times, he says, you were warned but not ready. You were told but you're not believing. You were hearing but not listening, and therefore unprepared. But I believe the tears of Jesus reveal the heart of God for his people and the compassion he has for us. You know he's for us, which is why he warned us to begin with. The next thing he said was, don't leave your first love. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Stay repentant in the center of his will. Overcome. Walk through the open door. Stay disciplined. Those things come from what Jesus spoke to the seven churches in Revelation. Every one of those churches, Jesus spoke a message for. He's telling us what's coming so that we can be prepared. And that's what the amplified tears represent. These cries from God's elect to be heard by the body of Christ and felt, so we can rise above the chaos and work and serve despite the circumstances. In other words, folks, God's calling us to be the medics in the middle of the battlefield, going out to help. People want answers, you know, when these kinds of things happen. Unexpected. I mean, I would say the Alliance is very sure about what will happen. But they could be very wrong, because as we've seen, demons can inhabit computers. God also is in control of computers, and, you know, their AI may fail them. Okay. He goes on to say, we need to be rooted spiritually and deeply rooted, because chaos is coming. He says it's worse than they thought it would be. So remain hard-braced and battle-ready. I've never heard him say in my dreams anything about being hard-braced. We cannot ignore the facts that difficult, perilous times are definitely coming. And this is the time you'd better be repenting. This is the time you'd better be in the Word. And this is the time you'd better be praying in the Spirit. This is the time you better be hearing the voice of God. And this is the time you'd better be connected to believers. Yeah, and when Moses picks up his staff to part the waters, you'd better be ready to cross by faith. Amen. Because he is going to take down the wicked. So, with the things that we're facing, let me say, too, there will be people who are just passing away at this time because they don't need to go through this, okay? But in large, the parable that we're looking at is showing that God is going to use this to take out the wicked. With the things that we're facing, we need to realize that things are about to get tough, and we can't play games with God anymore. Don't ignore the truth. I think this also says that death is going to come to some of us. There's going to be martyrs among God's people. Yes, even here in America. Well, you know, people that are taken out in a judgment aren't necessarily martyrs, you know. But there could be some too. Jesus goes on to say, these are the hard facts in the news I'm reporting to you in living color. Hard warnings are coming to us and being reported to us by Jesus himself. These things are going to come to pass. The truth of who you are as a believer is going to be revealed to the watching world. And your weaknesses, your shortcomings are going to be seen. It's all going to come out if you're really serving God, really living for Him. Yes, we have reported to you that the Lord keeps telling us over and over that there is a judgment coming to the apostate church in order to free them from their Babylonish captivity and get them ready to go into the wilderness, which, of course, this judgment could be very well bringing to pass, a wilderness the world over. Anyway, living color means everywhere the truth of what's going on is going to be seen by everybody. Most people don't have black and white TVs anymore representing that things have changed. Living color, I believe, means the real is what will be seen by everybody. Black and white, of course, is not real, right? The thoughts and the intentions of the heart, as well as the real commitment we have to serve Jesus, is going to be seen by everybody. True. And I would say turning off the TV represents turning off worldly distractions, because you know they're not telling you the truth, nor do they plan to. But I do believe that a destruction of the mainstream media is on the way. We need to focus on the need of the moment, which was pray for wisdom, pray for boldness, pray for strength. We've got to hear from Him, folks. Don't look to man, is what I believe He's saying. You have to turn them off and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. You get into the Word until the Word gets into you. And realize that God wants to speak to His people and prepare us for what's coming and what's happening now. The people knocking on the door illustrates that we have the answers that other people need. They're going to be genuinely seeking truth in the midst of all the chaos around them. This is true. We have to be ready. We've got to stand strong and grounded in the Word and help people to make a difference. We have got to speak the hard truth and not sugarcoat the gospel. We bring the light of Christ. We help people understand that no matter how crazy things are out there, that they can find safety in our presence because we know who Jesus is and He is with us. And when the world is falling apart, that's our job. The Holy Spirit is trying to warn the church to get ready because He's got work for us to do. And of course, you have to see that the church is the called out ones. If they haven't come out, they don't have answers for those who are seeking to come out, right? So he went on to say, "We pray, Lord, that you help us to be ready as the body of Christ. Help our eyes to be open to hear, eyes to see, to know who you are and when this comes. And may we stand hard braced and battle ready. May we share with the world around us the hope we have in Jesus. God, may we be the bride you've called us to be. May we be the body of Christ, ready to speak the truth in love. Give us wisdom and discernment, God, and may we hear your words that are prayers today. In Jesus' name, amen." Okay, and then this next one was given to Missy Pollock on 7/9/22. Called it "The Fire of Judgment Falls on the Apostates." Again, I want to say, you know, in Egypt, the first judgments did fall upon the people of God. And I believe that was to get them in a right position and repentance and ready for these things. And then they were separated, as in Goshen, they were separated and began to receive provision when nowhere else was it found, right? So, to preface this dream, before I had fallen to sleep, I asked the Lord to give me a dream that would let me know what He has for me ahead. Also, I was weary from all the disinformation coming from the deep state news and alternative news media and had asked Him to give me or anyone else His intel through dreams, visions, prophetic words, etc. So I believe that that's what He did. Thank you, Father, for quickly answering and encouraging me greatly, as well as all who read and listened to this. Amen. I believe Missy is representing the bride in this dream. She goes on to say, "I dreamed I was resting on a daybed with sky blue sheets, just like the one I slept on when I stayed with Eve. Representing being in the rest of the bride, ceasing from our own works, etc. It was dark, and I saw out the window what I thought were little meteorites falling from the sky like rain. But then I realized they were falling embers, and we were living in dark times." Okay. In part two of this series Fiery Trials Bring Revival, Dana Coverstone said, I saw small embers of flames that were coming down around the clock, but not catching the ground on fire, although it looked like fire coming down. Okay, so it's obviously pointing towards a symbolism here. Missy's dream also shows the embers of fire coming down out of the sky, but not catching anything on fire, just like the portion of Dana's dream. Both dreams seem to show the embers as being spiritual, a fire from heaven. Also, it's the fire one feels when going through a test and denying their flesh. So these explosions of the lights were spreading out, and the flames were going hundreds of miles beyond them. So this connects this dream with Dana's dream about the fireworks exploding and the damage extended nationwide. Okay, let me say that fire can mean two things. It can mean judgment, and it can also mean the Holy Spirit falling. Remember that Jesus comes as the man-child in a time when he is not only going to judge the wicked, but also be the beginning of revival. When people are threatened all around them, like we see in these dreams, they're more likely to seek God, and he's more likely to answer. So back to Missy's dream here. I went outside with a dustpan and brush to sweep up the remains or the remnants of what I saw and to look at it. But there was nothing in my dustpan. I believe Father put that in my dream to show me that what I saw falling from the sky wasn't physical but spiritual. Also, I didn't get burnt by it. It was the judgment from heaven falling as fire. Elijah called down fire from heaven on Jezebel's apostates. And this fits the dream, as we will see. The house was on top of a hill. She says, representing Mount Zion, the bride who is over the rest of God's elect. And, of course, you know, God's coming to save the bride in so many verses, especially in the book of Isaiah towards the end. My father, representing the father, came and we got into a white SUV, representing a vehicle of holiness where there is safety. I called my husband, who was in the house, and asked him if he saw the embers that were falling from the sky, and he said that he did. So those on top of Mount Zion have spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. The bride will point out these judgments from God, and many will be saved. Amen. My father took me for a drive to see what had caught on fire from the embers falling from the sky. We were at the bottom of the hill, and as we drove up an incline, I saw some really old houses engulfed in fire. This represents the fire of judgment that burns up the wood, hay, and stubble and purifies the elect of God's people. In other words, revival. And my thought is the really old houses near the bottom of Mount Zion represent the apostate religious institutions that are going to experience judgment for ignoring the call to climb Mount Zion. And the next thing I know, my husband and I were at my son Kurt's house. Kurt is my second son and spiritually represents the fruit of Christ in me. His house was on top of the same hill, representing Mount Zion, that I was on, and at the start of the dream. It was built up high, like the houses built on stilts along the beach to protect them from the waves. And she gives Psalms 18 and 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I will take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower. Amen. That's what he is. Abide in him, and that's where you will be, right? I was holding my grandson, and she puts representing the multiplication of my fruit of Jesus in me. He was all swaddled up with a pacifier in his mouth. And she says he's not born yet and is due mid-October this year. Is this a timing thing? Is judgment going to fall not long after he's born? I asked Kurt if he had looked out the window and saw the houses burning below. He said, yes, he did see them burning. And then I woke up. So here's her update. In my dream of the embers falling from the sky, I was holding Maverick, who wasn't born yet, and he was swaddled. Surprisingly, he's still being swaddled. Since the beginning of the year, especially, there has been a lot of judgment falling. The other morning, as I was waking up and getting out of bed, I was half dreaming and I heard myself say something like, it's now 2024, and I knew it had just turned 2024. I have a sense that this is when the tribulation will begin in 2024. Well, we'll see. Okay. I asked the Lord what this was about, and by faith at random, I received Psalm 7:11 in context 10 through 13. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. So, this sounds very much like we know when the man-child comes, of course, that he is going to collect his bride, just like Jesus did. John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. So he collected his bride and began this revival, which will be repeated in our day on a larger scale, of course. And verse 11 here says, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. In other words, it's time to go into the wilderness tribulation, which is also the seven-day marriage feast. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine hath budded and its blossom is open, and the pomegranates are in flower. There will I give thee my love. The mandrakes give forth fragrance, and at our doors are all manner of precious fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Well, Tiana was telling me that she had an encounter or something like that before she was born again. She said that the Lord showed her we were at the time of the end of the world, and she had a knowing of the year 2024. And this, of course, could mean that the beginning of the tribulation marriage feast, right, as we saw above. So, not that it's the end of the tribulation or anything like that. Okay. But it could be the beginning of the marriage feast, which is the 7-year or 7-day marriage feast in which the bride and groom walk. And of course, Jesus walked with the bride, you know, and the revival started. I asked for verses by faith at random for the dream, and underlined is where my finger came down, Numbers 26 and 40. And the sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman of Ard, the family of the Ardites, of Naaman, the family of the Naamites. Ardites means I shall subdue, as in God shall subdue the church. Finally, now it's time to rebuild here. And she gives Nehemiah 2 and 1 in context 1 through 5. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, when wine was before him, that I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. And the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance so sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. And then I was very sore afraid. I said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. So the people rebelled against the word, like the church has, and were taken into captivity. And here Nehemiah is going to lead the return and rebuilding of the kingdom, representing the man-child going forth to start rebuilding, right? I asked for a verse for me. Well, here again we see that the captivity and the forgiveness and the return, okay? So she got Zechariah 8 and 14 in context 14 through 17. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, As I thought to do evil unto you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do good unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak ye every man the truth with his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you devise evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. She says these Zechariah verses remind me of Psalm 15. This chapter is about the coming peace and prosperity of Zion. As I was meditating on this dream about the embers falling, subconsciously this song was going through my head over and over until the Lord got my attention. It was a song that I had listened to a couple of days before. It's a song called Fire by C.C. Winans. These are the words of that song that were going through my head. Fire, fire, fall on us. Start a new revival. Fire, fall on us. Yes, amen. We will need it. And it will be highly motivated when judgment is here. And everybody wants to be in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of his wings, right? And this is a YouTube video from Great Miracles Avenue, 61022. It was called Jesus Showed Her the Plagues of 2023. And the following is a summary of this testimony transcribed by Eve Brast. The entire video testimony is linked here, so you can see that. This is an awesome testimony, well worth your time, she says. This young girl grew up in a religious family and went to church and participated in religious activities. She was a good person but didn't have a relationship with Jesus. When she died, she was taken to hell before Jesus brought her back with a mission to tell the world about the coming fate of 2023. So, this young African lady had been having a lot of heart trouble and chest pains and had been diagnosed by the doctors with endocarditis, which I think is one of the side effects of the vaccine. Her words, around 10 p.m. one evening, my heart was racing much faster than usual and my breathing was out of control and I couldn't do anything about it. There seemed to be an abrupt cessation of my breath and I felt myself suffocating. I attempted to shift my body in the bed. After repeated attempts to cry out to my parents for help and not being heard, I began to feel cold, and my spirit became detached from my body. I was propelled through space at an incredible rate of speed, and I began asking myself repeatedly if I was dead. After some time, I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I turned to see a man in brilliant white with a glowing face. I asked him if he was Jesus, and he responded, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come with me, and I will show you mighty things that you do not know." I asked Jesus, "Am I dead?" Jesus said, "You are here for one purpose, and that must be accomplished as soon as possible. I will impact upon you my word and ask that you disseminate it throughout the world. Let them know the great tribulation is due. It will be tougher and feel longer than humanity can imagine." Yeah. I was crying and started to hear sounds of screaming and pain and feeling the air. It was all intensified, and I was moving closer to where the voices and the cries were coming from. The smell and the hotness in that place was like none other. It then dawned on me that I was in hell. I cried out, "Master Jesus." Jesus said, "On earth, you just went to church and did other religious activities because it was imposed upon you by your parents. And you never looked for me with the whole of your heart." He paused for a moment, and I observed the sorrowful reaction from his movement as they walked, and then he said, "This is how hell's fire is. You won't be here long. I want you to tell my people about the coming year, 2023. As soon as he said this, the obnoxious scents and sounds gradually faded away, and the atmosphere and power shifted to a more comfortable state. Jesus went on to say, 2023 will be a tough year, and the year of more doom. The pains and sufferings of the past years will be nothing compared to the future. The avarice and greed of men will be made known." Well, avarice means an extreme greed for wealth or material gain, such as the deep state, in the church, which is the faction, right? This will be the cause of a severe pandemic. Well, obviously, the last pandemic was not what they claimed it was. The real pandemic ended up being the mRNA vaccines. So now we're speaking of another pandemic, and it is truly severe. And this fits with our dreams of factious people dying in a pandemic. conflicts between nations will erupt more frequently and violently than ever before. Even the most privileged will be concerned. Well, this kind of lets us know that somewhere the plan to have a fake World War III may go astray, and there actually be a war, just as we saw in Revelation 6 of the first and then the second seal, which was taking peace from the earth, people killing one another, and so on. So I've said for a long time that I wondered if their plan to make a fake world war in order to use this fear on people to turn them against, I guess, the deep state and Biden and so on and so forth, would go astray. And, of course, there are people willing to do that. And if it comes to pass, that means the Lord is willing to do that. He wants people to repent before the wilderness, right? They came out of Egypt following the man-child before they entered the wilderness, which is the tribulation. He said, even the most privileged will be concerned. After sensing my anxieties, he continued to hold my hand tightly. He went on to say, tell my people that in spite of everything, everyone who seeks and finds salvation in me, I, the Lord, shall be with them. I will dry the tears from their eyes and will comfort them, even if the repercussions of greed continue to rule and prevail. My Father who rules beyond heaven and earth shall bring peace to the world, but only if the world seeks repentance. Go now and tell the world. All right. So I think we can see out there that Cyrus has pretty much destroyed Babylon. It's probably never going to recover. It's destroying their dollar now, which, of course, they have hordes of. But it's worthless, and it's going to be worthless in the United States as it's worthless in the rest of the world now. So I believe Cyrus is going to finish his job, and then, well, there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. I began to beg to stay with Jesus and asked if another could go in my stead. But Jesus said, these are my plans for you. You were born for this purpose, and this is your mission on earth. Go and tell the world what you have seen and heard. And as soon as he was done speaking, I was suddenly knocked off my feet by a gust of wind that was so powerful that it was beyond my ability to resist its force. When I came back into my body, I could hear the sobs and wails of my mother and the doctors rushing around, and I felt them taking my pulse. They declared that I was dead and that they had never witnessed a miracle like this. I had been dead from 10 p.m. the previous night and wasn't found by my dad until the next morning when they had rushed me to the hospital. I have relayed the information in precisely the same manner as Jesus had given it to me, and I hope that everyone will take heed to the warning. And I think I'm going to post here God's vaccine so people can get prepared for a real plague. Yeah. So there were three things that God told me to warn you about in 2023. Kynan Bridges gave this, 12/31/23. It's a rather simple message. And considering the things that we've just seen or heard, I believe it's very important for people to stay stable. So he said he wanted to go on record saying these things. God said, warn the church about these three things in the coming year. I need you to hear me and pay very close attention to what I'm going to say, because this is very critical. Judge this word and consider this and take heed if possible, he says. Number one, the year 2023 would be a time of great deception. Deception would become a culture, and we must be aware of deception. Oh, is it ever? I mean, the alien deception, the AI deception, the leftist deception that overcomes people and brings them into such terrible faction and witchcraft. So we see massive deception out there. But he goes on to say, I'm talking about deception in the media, deception in the religious church mountain, deception in the political mountain. He's using mountains as kingdoms here, I believe. Deception in business and in so many other areas. He said we needed to guard our hearts and minds against deception. Well, amen. Start praying for the truth. That's the best thing. When I first became a Christian, that's what I was doing constantly, is praying for the truth. I didn't want to get distracted from the truth. And I was reading the Bible day and night and was enjoying it and retaining it and so on. Well, we've observed already the deceptions of the demons impersonating aliens and 1,000 years of peace. Notice, there's no 1,000 years of peace here. And all of these New Age people, well, we hope some of them will be converted when they realize that they've been just throwing out a bunch of baloney. And that the Book of Revelation is true, which they don't believe, right? And the demons possessed AI liars, you know, which they've trained to lie to us with a straight face. There would be such a strong push in the area of deception that people would literally lose their minds because of this. People will begin to question reality. Well, truly, I mean, so many have been caught up in patriotic thing, pledging allegiance to a flag, which was basically ruled by these left-wing despots, you know. I'm talking about the kind of deception that Paul talks about in Thessalonians. The Bible says that God would send them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. And if you're not on guard, if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and more importantly, if you're not biblically literate, you will be deceived. True, true. Please pay attention to this, because many of you will say, well, that's already happening. No, you've never seen anything like this. Beginning with the first quarter of 2023, they will begin to monetize and systemize this deception. It will be a systematic thing. And if you're not really abiding in the truth, then you would be susceptible. Amen. Number two, write this down, because this is so important. In the days to come, not only will there be a lot of deception, but there will be a lot of distractions. What is a distraction? Something that's meant to take your attention away from what's really happening. Let me say both sides do this. I think that this thing of arresting the president this coming week is a distraction. They said they were going to have a distraction to bring in the GCR, and that it would probably end up in martial law, and we can see that this arrest of the president, which he is agreeing to do for some reason, probably for some kind of a political angle here, showing us how really bad the left is and how they're really swallowed up by evil and can't judge properly. So at any rate, it could very well be a cover for the GCR to begin to disseminate. And we can see, too, that is if people see this, there could be an outbreak, you know, on the streets. And they would need the military out there to keep things straight. So I can see that this could possibly be it. We don't know. As we speak, they're talking about all these committees and panels, but look at what they just approved. Trillions of tax dollars are being spent right now, and it's being spent while people are distracted with other things. People are looking over here to the left, but paying attention to what's going on the right. And when they talk about food shortages, when they talk about wars, and you know there will be an increase of fear and of global conflict, pay attention to what's really going on. Do not be distracted in this season. The things that God has shown you in dreams, the things He's shown you in visions, but more importantly, what He has shown you in His Word, lay hold on those things and do not let go of what God has spoken to you. I'm telling you, God's going to do some things in 2023 that are very, very supernatural. One of them, I believe, is He's going to begin to not only judge, but wake up the sleeping church. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, stay focused on the Word of God and on what God spoke to you. Stay focused on God's promises and do not be moved by distractions. Do not allow things to take your attention off of what God is speaking and doing in this season. We're going to see a lot of major distractions in the political arena in the first quarter of the year going into the middle of the year. There will be many things that are said in legislations, committees, panels, but they're all smoke and mirrors. They're just a show. There's no substance to them. Don't be distracted. They're designed and strategically orchestrated to take your attention and your focus away from God and His plans. Do not give in to fear. Number three, I'm to warn you against disappointment and despair. Well, you can imagine when everybody's expectation, especially in the alliance and people under the alliance, could be disappointed when their full expectation is not come to pass, right? The Bible actually says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, nor in my Father's house there are many mansions. In Hebrews 10, it says, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. I'm telling this by the Holy Ghost, he says. Do not give in to the temptation in the upcoming year to believe that the things God has promised you have not come to pass. The devil will try to play on your emotions. He will try to make you think, I thought God was going to do this, or I thought God was going to do that, and none of it has happened. The devil will try to use your disappointment to take you to a place of despair. That's when you give up hope and become hopeless. In this next season of our lives, we must hold on to hope, which is the anchor of the soul. And this is why I believe the Lord told me to warn the church in this season, because as things begin to shift, you need to hold on to the truth and to the firm foundation that God has not forgotten you. He is not slack concerning His promise. Maybe you, that by this time, would have seen the restoration of your marriage or whatever it may be. Listen, do not let go of your appointment. That's what disappointment is when you distance yourself from your divine appointment. Well, amen. We've all received promises, and we obviously many times wonder why God is taking so long to bring them to pass, and we don't want to be disappointed at that. God always has the divine right time. And I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to be able to look back and see that God did everything perfectly. God keeps his appointments even if it seems like he's not on the way, even if it seems like he's not showing up, even if it seems like it's not going to happen. Do not become disappointed. The devil will try to destroy people with disappointment. He will try to talk people into giving up, even to the point of taking their own lives, even to the point of conceding to that spirit of despair that the spirit of hopelessness has. There are many other things that I need to share with you about the upcoming year, but the Lord hasn't released me to share them yet. There's a lot of things that God's going to be doing in this upcoming year. There's going to be great revival that happens and begins to happen in churches. Yes, even during all this, you know, trouble out there, people will turn to God. They will find out that all of the things that they thought were important in life are not. But there is one thing that is important, and I believe that is to believe Psalm 91 and live it. There's going to be another push in terms of infectious diseases. Infectious disease will be one of the talking points in 2023. Yes, indeed. But also there will be unprecedented miracles and documented miracles. Globally, we're going to see the church explode in the area of miracles, signs, and wonders. Yes, amen. And as we know in Jesus' day, which we know is going to be repeated in our day, miracles, signs, and wonders started with him. He was the man-child of that day. Okay. And those are the three things that God told me to tell you right now. Okay, and here's a revelation. Julie, daughter of the king, she said, I'm going to make all things new. March the 2nd, 2023. She said, my dear sisters and brothers in Yahushua, let me say, this is not a problem. You know, God meets people where they are. If they're, you know, stuck on the holy name, which, by the way, I want to say a lot of people who believe, for instance, that the New Testament in Hebrew is the word of God. But I want to tell you, that's not true. In the New Testament, God did move to Greek. The Greek New Testament is the one that has the numeric pattern. The Hebrew New Testament does not have that numeric pattern. And so, what God gave us in the New Testament is what we should be standing upon, but that does not mean that God cannot speak to a people who are somewhere in between, okay? And but we know that. I'll just leave it at that. Yahushua teaches us all the time that we are to have his kingdom perspective. True, but it's often challenging in this life to do that. We were brought into this world for a purpose, his purposes. But often our self has more influence over us than we would like to admit, especially when we are downtrodden, weary, and don't see any progress towards the goal and victory Yahushua has promised. It is a struggle daily to see evil escalating without being reined in. And when the enemy seems to be winning, then our frustrations can mount and be on full display. Despite Yahushua having taught us how to operate from the Spirit and not from the flesh. Father, we want to be launched to bring in the harvest for your glory. Let's go and save the lost. Father, isn't it time yet? And like a child anticipating a positive response to a well-presented case, we wait for the anticipation and are crestfallen and discouraged when the answer is not yet. There are some things that will, you know, set the attitude of people and bring people into a place where they're ready to listen, right? So he says, not yet. However, we must remember that our Father has set in place a design that is so incredible in its perfection for converting the soul that we cannot fully grasp all of it on this side. This is a word that Yehoshua gave to me, and I cried out yet again, asking him why we haven't been transformed yet. His response was loving but very clear. I believe that what she's saying about transformed is representative of what we have spoken about in Joel chapter 2 about a transformation, a restoration, literally it's called, a restoration of everything that's been stolen from God's crop over all these many years, and which could mean healings, deliverances, restoration of your body, your mind, etc., so on and so forth. So I think that's what she's talking about here. And this message she received on February 28th, 2023. My coming to heal you, to strengthen you, and to transform you is not contingent on how you feel at any given moment. It is not contingent on how much the evil has increased. It is not contingent on your perspective as to whether you feel you can continue one more day in this realm or not. I am with you and never leave your side. I understand how difficult this life is for all of you. You have desires, plans, dreams that have and will go unfulfilled. You have given up the identity that is you so that I can manifest through you, and at times this saddens you. My word says I give you the desires of your heart, but this is only truth when you align my will with your life and allow me to place the desires within. Desires birthed from the flesh often do not come to fruition because these are either outside of me or simply not needed for your growth in me. Things don't always go as you had hoped, and some of you are disappointed, frustrated, and even discouraged as you wait for me. I realize the wait seems so long, but as I always tell you, without praying for my perspective, you won't have the understanding that the appointed time I have chosen is the perfect time by my design. Amen. There are infinite outcomes and possibilities based on each soul's choice. In even the smallest matter, every second that passes each day, only I, as Creator, know the outcome of every single choice or motive. Because you hear that the victory has been won, but have yet to experience it in the natural realm. I think that's where we're at now. You know, people are hearing that the victory has been won. Okay, but from God's point of view, these people don't know the Lord of heaven. So they're not arriving at the place that they think they're arriving at. But I have yet to experience it in the natural realm. You have only limited vision and understanding as to why I have not poured out my spirit in full measure yet. However, I say to you, evil must rise to the degree that Satan and all of his dark kingdom believe that they have won, believe that they have the upper hand, and that they are in complete control. Then I will move upon the lands like has never been seen or done before. And of course, in this way, of course, everybody's going to know it's God doing this and not a man, right? Then I will pour out my spirit as a flood that all the souls of men will know that I am, that I am. Would you have it any other way? When that appointed time has come, I will be known as Creator of all things, King of kings, Lord of lords. I have always offered you free will in every choice you make, never stopping you from walking in the path you choose to walk. I force no one to completely surrender to me. But when you were born again, it was your decision, freely given, to give your lives to me as a living sacrifice. However, you can choose at any point to take matters into your own hands because I have not moved in the way you would have me move yet. You could make decisions without my counsel to fulfill your own desires and dreams because it appears that time as you know it goes on and on. But where does this lead you? You have been chosen before the foundation of the earth to be my kings and priests and to help me bring in the lost. Surely you would not rather be one of the souls leading rescue, or needing rescue, excuse me, who have gone their own way. Are you not one of those chosen as my remnant, those who have been trained to walk in obedience, those who have fully surrendered their lives to me so I can use all of you as instruments of righteousness, bringing in the larger harvest of those who have not yet committed? When you gave everything to me in this life, my desires became your desires. My will became your will. And the you, known as your soul, gave all its hopes, dreams, and desires to me to do with as I would have it. I assure you, your wait will not have been in vain. There is a process that is taking place as you wait, and as you hold the line and keep the faith, and as you stand, when it's all you can do but stand, and simply abide in obedience and pray. Many of you are sick and disabled. Many of you have suddenly found yourselves alone. Many of you have relocated, and many of you are very unsure of how to proceed. Many of you have lost loved ones unexpectedly. But nothing has happened outside of my will. I am bigger than all of this. I am in control. I have the perfect plan in place. I see all and I hear all, and I am walking through this with you, and so much is about to be revealed to you. You walk by faith and not by sight, and blessed are those who believe, even though they don't see me. All is about to change. I would not say this if it wasn't so. I am not a man that I would lie. I am truth in all its essence. Trust me, my beautiful ones, trust me. Your journey will suddenly take a turn, and all that has been hurtful here, and all that has been stolen from you, and all that has caused heartbreak, all will be healed and restored. Yahushua. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Psalm 40 and 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Proverbs 3 and 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 Peter 2 and 5. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 1 and 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Revelation 5 and 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Romans 6 and 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Ephesians 6 and 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, people who walk by sight are disturbed. They're troubled by the things that they see coming upon the world, and possibly because they need to get their sight on the true things and not the false things, like the Word of God, right? John 20 and 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Well, I think there's a good exhortation in all of this. The Lord is saying, I know best, you don't. And we all have expectations. We've all been given revelations of truth, but they're all in part. They're not complete. And so we take a look at what God is saying to other people sometimes. And if we feel the Spirit leading, it can be, added to our big picture. So, Father, we do thank you for what you're doing. We know you are sovereign. And we get self-willed sometimes, Lord, and we want you to hurry up. But you have many more things to plug in here. And we know that you work all things after the counsel of your own will, and that you work all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So we know you're doing it right, and you're doing it right the first time. And we, if you would listen to all of us, Lord, we would probably lead you astray. So we know that you are sovereign and we put our trust in you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the victory that you have ultimately given us. It was sealed from the foundation of the world. You have given us the victory through Jesus Christ. You have delivered us out of the power of darkness, even though we look and we see darkness everywhere around us. We know that you have delivered us out of that power. You have given us authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt us. You have done all these things, and we need to take it seriously, Lord. In the days to come, I believe many people who are set aside in playpens, I call them, of religion are going to realize that there's no answers here, and they're going to climb over the bars and get out and begin to walk as they should walk. And Lord, you are going to lead your people. You are going to draw them unto yourself. You are going to grant them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to grant them the victory over their enemies. And it won't be before our crucifixion. The greatest victory that Jesus ever won was after his crucifixion, because he was given dominion over all things. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have also done that with us. You've given us authority over all things. And you put everything under the feet of your body, according to Ephesians. And that's the very lowest member of your body. You've put these things under. And yet they don't know this, many times because of religion that has told them these things passed away, or you can't believe all that in these days, and so on and so forth. But these people are spiritual murderers, because many of their people die before their time because they don't know the truth. They don't know we've been given this victory. So, Lord, we just ask you to grant wisdom and a discernment and direction to your people, that they will come out from among them and be separate and seek to follow you and you alone, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have prepared for these people who you are going to bring in from all of the nations where you have scattered them into the denominations you scattered them into. You're going to bring them from that. You're going to bring them back to their promised land as one people with one shepherd. And Lord, we are looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the wonderful deliverance your people are going to have, the health this is going to bring to them, the spiritually and physically, the wisdom that they will walk in these coming days, people who have walked the path before them, but after Jesus, will be able to show them the way. And Jesus said, of course, I am the way. Therefore, we as disciples are learners and followers of the Master to walk in his steps. And there's no other way through this jungle that we're in but to follow Jesus. He is going to lead us into the wilderness. He, of course, is coming in a body, as we've already discussed, that's a modern body of reformers to bring us back to the truth that we have left. The church has departed from the faith, and it is dead. It is powerless. It is full of sin and doesn't have any choice about coming out from under it because they don't know the gospel. So, Father, we know you're going to restore all these things unto them, and they will be so excited, even in the midst of much turmoil and trouble, even in the midst of going through tribulations and troubles and losing loved ones in some cases, and seeing death and destruction all around, and seeing the foolishness all around. Lord, people need the truth. The truth will set us free, as our Lord Jesus said. So, Lord, that's what we're asking. We're asking you return us to the truth. Lord, you've told us for many years that we were storing up the grain in the silos to feed God's people in this famine of the word that is upon the earth. And so we've been faithfully doing that. And many have tried to hinder us of the rebuilding of the kingdom. Many wicked people have taken it upon themselves to destroy anything God does through us. But this has just made us stronger. And we thank you for that. You've given us wisdom and understanding, that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And we've taken it many times and seen their plots and schemes fail. And we're so thankful to you, Lord, that you're doing that. But there's coming a time when none of these people will pass through our midst at all, as your word clearly says. And that is when, of course, you sanctify the body. And these Edomites will no longer pass through us to train us to hold fast to the word and to hold fast to one another and to obey the rules to keep from being taken out by the same thing. Well, Lord, you have turned many in these days over to a reprobate mind. Many. As Romans chapter 1 clearly states, lots of perversion has been given to these people. And it is to show them that they got no business being a leader in the church or trying to give direction to other people or correction to other people. They are the lowest of the low. Who are they to give advice? They don't see through this hypocrisy. They have a lot of pride and ego, and therefore they're blinded to their own evil. But we thank you, Father, for the elect among them, that you will show them, you will deliver them from their bondage to these the evil leadership that they have chosen, who are most corrupt people. We thank you, Father, for doing that. We prayed for years that you would do that, and we know that your elect are going to be delivered. We give praise and thanks unto you, Lord. And also that you're going to restore all things that the worms have brought upon us. Worms, of course, deal in corruption. And they've taken many things from your people. But, Lord, you are going to restore everything. That revival is going to restore everything. Everything that they had in the early church. All of the gifts that they had in the early church. All of the power that they had in the early church and more is going to be restored. Health is going to be restored. Jesus healed everybody that came to him, and so shall this man-child ministry. Everybody coming by faith will be healed and delivered and set free and be ready to be one of those warriors out there that brings this expected end that we know about. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. That you will bring to remembrance all things that you have said unto us and not let us turn them loose because we see opposite things happening in the meantime. Your timing is perfect, just as you pointed out in these revelations. Your timing is perfect. You'd fail at nothing. There are many things involved that we don't know about that need to be done, and it, so it seems like it's taking a longer time for you to bring answers. But we know that you're working all things together for our good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You're working all things together for our good. And we thank you so much, Father, for the deliverance that you've given us from the foundation of the world. We know that our Lord Jesus told us, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you have received them and you shall have them. It's not time to give up in the midst of the trial. It's time to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. We must hold fast to the word that he has spoken unto us, to the prayers that we have prayed that are in accordance with his will. It's time for us to hold fast and not be moved by what we see or feel or hear around us. We know what God has spoken. We know the promises he's given us. And we're going to hold fast by your grace, Lord. You said, by grace have you been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, Lord, we ask you for that gift of faith in us to hold fast to the things that you said in your word, the things that you said to us in dreams and visions and revelations, to help us to hold fast, Lord, because we have to see the end from the beginning. We have to call the things that be not as though they were, because truly, Lord, even from the beginning, you have ordained our works for us, and we just enter into them in these days through our faith. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for granting us your gift of faith through grace. And thank you that the works of Jesus will be in us, as that text also says. And thank you so much, Father, that you have called us to have good works, even the works of Jesus. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And those works, Lord, have been stored up for these days of this great revival, and they are going to come forth in a people who believe your word. As you said, "He that believeth on me." Amen. And you said, "He that believeth on me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive." The Spirit of God is going to flow out of your people, and those words will not fall to the ground. They will be fulfilled. We will have complete and sudden miracles, healings, and deliverances. People say, "Well, why doesn't it happen the way it did in Jesus' day?" Because we haven't reached Jesus' day yet. Okay, and when the man-child ministry begins, we're going to begin to see that exact same thing that people have wondered. Why have we not seen this? Or why we have to endure this long trial before we can get what we received? As you know, some people don't endure the trial, and they don't ever get what they were supposed to have. That's why he tells us, "Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not. He is faithful that promised. He will keep his word." Thank you, Lord. Yes, we're not going to be moved. We know what the Alliance has proposed and what they believe will be the end of all of their works. But we also know that one beast kingdom is overtaking another beast kingdom. It's not as though they are right in that regard, because they don't believe it's a beast kingdom. That's the only thing that rules in the earth. In order to bring God's people to their cross, bring chastening to God's people so that they will get on the narrow road, and even take people out of this life in a harvest. So God's purposes are being fulfilled in everything, through everyone. There is no accidents in our life. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And like Daniel said, there's nobody that restrains him or says, what are you doing? You know, it's you, God, all the way. And Lord, not our will be done, but your will be done. We know that you will work in us your will to do your good pleasure. And that's what we desire, Lord, to be pleasing unto you. So we receive, Lord, the gift of being pleasing unto you. We ask that you draw us unto yourself, that you work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We want your pleasure in our minds. We want to know your pleasure and do your pleasure, Lord. And we know that you work in us that will to do that. And that's what salvation is all about. So, Father, we want to be in your perfect will. We thank you, Father, for doing it. We're standing steadfast, Lord, by your grace, and we're receiving it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, all right. Thank you for joining us today, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much. God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole.
Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you.